Laundry. My parents taught me how to use a washing machine to do laundry. I learned about how to fill the machine, how to keep the colors vibrant, and how to get even the white fabrics sparkling clean. I didn't always pay attention, however, to what I'd learned. I can remember several occasions where I had clothes that were splotched or still encrusted with the powder because I'd put too much stuff in there and not enough water, and so the powder just never got mixed in with the water. Never anyone has ever done that, right? We all use liquid stuff. No, and to this day, sometimes I still have trouble filling the basket too full, resulting in that loud banging when the spin cycle starts. It's like, tunk, 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 and you got to go in there and redistribute the loads. And it's not because I just had like a big heavy blanket in there. It's because I had 8 pairs of jeans, you know, in there, which kind of got clean. And then you put them in the dryer and it takes like 45 extra minutes because they never really got full with the spin cycle. And you go, I got to put them back in the centrifuge. And anyone do this, or is it just a guy thing? It's just a guy thing? Oh, well. But I would say that I do laundry adequately. I do. Things turn out pretty well. And I don't often have to do the smell test in the morning. And before you say, ew, you have all done the smell test in the morning. Okay, maybe you haven't. How many of you know what the smell test is? Yeah. For those of you who don't know or who just aren't telling, I'll just describe it. The smell test is you go into the top of the dirty clothes bin, or sometimes the bottom, but and you pick out whatever it is you wanted to wear that wasn't washed, and you go, and then you put it on. Or you go, and then you find something else. I learned it in college, actually, the smell test. But occasionally, you know, the smell test does happen when you haven't done laundry, so just don't get all ew, because everybody's done the smell test, I think, at one time or another. But even though I do laundry adequately, I think, no one has ever remarked that my clothes look dazzlingly white. Even today, I mean, this is a nice white robe, but it's not dazzlingly white, at least not the way the Bible describes dazzlingly white. It's not the stuff legends are made of. It's just a white robe. And I've seen folks wear dazzling outfits, you know, with the sparkly sequins and everything like that. I've watched the red carpet at the Academy Awards, which some of you will be watching tonight. Any favorites? How many of you are going to watch the Academy Awards? And how many of you like watching the 3 hours before where they're just coming down the red carpet? Nobody? There's one and two. Okay. And I don't think Joan Rivers is on it anymore, so might be more interesting. And Isaac is not going to grope anybody on there or anything like that. So I think we've got it. It might work okay. And some people have said that they don't care about the red carpet. All they care about is, who's the host? Hugh Jackman. They don't care what he says. It's just, it's Hugh Jackman, and so they're going to watch it. And even if he's not entertaining anyone, it's not really my thing, but you know, he's a good-looking man. I don't think that any of the outfits that we'll see on, I have to take that back, some of them might be legendary because we've got legendary outfits that we've seen on the red carpet, but none of them are going to be so dazzlingly white such as no person on earth could bleach them. They'll just be kind of dazzling or too revealing or whatever it is that we'll see on the red carpet tonight. But in this week's Bible reading, Jesus' clothes were described as dazzlingly white, such as no person on earth could ever bleach them. So he's up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and all of a sudden, dazzlingly white. Do you know that over the years, people have taken Bible passages like this one and twisted them to something completely opposite of the central theme of the Bible? Now, I've talked about the two rules, the central theme of the Bible being God creates, we mess it up, God redeems, we mess it up, God redeems, we mess it up. Remember, what's our job? Mess up. What's God's job? Central theme of the Bible, just all the way through it. If I was talking in deep theological terms or English terms, I would say the metanarrative. Go ahead and say metanarrative. Yes, the meta-narrative of the Bible is God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. There it is, just like that. And the cycle goes on and on. people have used this passage and others with similar color terms and things like that over the years and twisted it to go away from that meta-narrative. Like, Jesus' clothes were dazzlingly white, therefore only those with white skin are part of God's promise. I've heard people say that in my lifetime. God separated the darkness from the light, therefore the races should be separate. Heard that in my lifetime. Jesus is the light of the world, and the darkness could not overcome him. Therefore, the ones with the white skin cannot be overcome by the ones with the dark skin. I've heard that in my lifetime, and it's ridiculous. First, because it makes no sense with that overall theme of the Bible, the meta-narrative. And second, because it's just stupid. Jesus' glowing clothes have nothing to do with skin color. And any time we attempt to read or to interpret or to use the Bible for any agenda that does not first have, or underneath it have, love for God and love for anyone, we are twisting Scripture, and it is just plain wrong. See, the dazzlingly white clothes that Jesus was wearing, they're there to remind us of God's glowing presence, not of a color separation. Peter didn't get to wear the dazzling clothes. I can't even say it, dazzling clothes. Neither did James or John. And I think they noticed their drabness and had no idea what to do. But I love that Peter, in a state of confusion, it says he didn't know what to say, and the first thing he thought of was hospitality, which was, let's make three dwellings. Let's make three tabernacles is kind of the way that ought to be translated. Let's make three places for you to pray. I want to offer something that will provide hospitality for you, for Moses, for Elijah, for you. Because he didn't know what else to do. His first instinct was hospitality. I don't know how Moses and Elijah appear in this. They were probably glowing too and everything, and it probably added to the whole shock value of stuff for Peter, James, and John. I don't even want to go there. How did that happen? It just says that it did. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were there. Forget time travel, all that. I don't know how it happened, but Peter was freaked, and he responded with hospitality. So Jesus' clothes were dazzlingly white, and the disciples were confused, and Peter offered hospitality, and I'm sure that they realized that what was happening to Jesus was something that they would never achieve or experience. Nobody just glows like that. In the Old Testament, we've got Moses glowing when he came down from the mountain. So there is that connection there, and the readers of the New Testament would see that from the Old Testament. But they also have the connection with another Old Testament figure, Moses' sister. You remember her name? It was Miriam. Miriam was in trouble one time. They had done some bad things, and so Miriam got brought into the God cloud, and she got scolded, and when she came out, she was glowing just like Moses did when he came down from the mountain. You remember what the people said to her? They said, she's got leprosy. So Moses goes into the cloud, even though it was a positive thing. He comes out glowing. They're like, oh, he's glowing. And Miriam goes into the cloud and comes out. She's glowing. They're like, she's got leprosy. It's a whole woman-man thing in the Bible that no woman could ever achieve that. Peter, James, and John weren't part of that part, but they did see Jesus glowing, and they thought good things, but I'm sure they also thought that this is not something that we're going to be able to achieve. Although James and John, the sons of thunder who were always after more glory, maybe hoped. Doesn't say that they did, but their characters kind of are that way. But I don't think they thought they would really dazzle like that. You know, the Bible calls us to live our lives like Jesus. Yes, for Jesus and serving Jesus, but like Jesus. The whole "what would Jesus do" bracelet is a little too simple, but like Jesus, and asking that question for sure does not hurt. But living like Jesus isn't living as Jesus. I mean, we can't achieve something that Jesus did. We can't live a perfect life. We've already messed that up. We messed it up a long, long time ago, but that's our job. Because what does God do? Redeems. God forgives. God lets us start over. Just like no matter how many laundry lessons I get or have gotten or give, or how many miracle laundry stain removers we use. You all watch TV at least sometime, right? You see the miracle stain removers, or you've gone to the sandwich fair and seen the miracle stain removers. Yeah, that stuff that you see, it's color safe, and you put it on there, and it makes the stain just disappear. You ever used some of that stuff? Anyone? I've used it, and it actually does a pretty good job, so I did some research to see how does this work. Do you know what it does? Well, it's called sodium percarbonate, and there's some other chemicals like that one, but it takes the stain, and it doesn't remove the stain. Soap and water can help remove the stain, remove the residue there. It just takes the stain and makes it transparent so that you don't see it. The stain is still there. Unless you wash really hard and everything like that. But it's just, you can't see it anymore. You see the fabric that it's in. That's kind of cool. It's some invisibility potion kind of a thing like that. But that's the miracle stain remover. It doesn't remove the stains at all. It just makes it so you can't see it. Stain remover that doesn't remove stains. Peter, James, and John could never clean up their act enough to glow like Jesus. We can never clean up our act enough. We can never do laundry good enough to get the dazzling white. This robe will never look like Jesus' robe ever did, no matter how much I bleach it, no matter what kind of miracle stain transparentizer I use on it. It's never going to be the way Jesus' robe was, signifying we can't be exactly like Jesus. We can live our lives for Jesus and try to live our lives like Jesus. And if we're out to try and clean up our act by using the best sources, because we can go to, you know, read the best books and go to the best counselors, take the best courses, without the one whose clothes were really dazzling, I think we're getting ready for, or we're about to see this disappointing realization that the stain is still there, the problem is still there, we just don't see it, it's been made transparent. But I also don't want to leave you with the idea that just throw Jesus into the mix and everything's going to be okay, because that would be a flat-out lie. I've heard that in my lifetime too, though. Just throw Jesus in the mix and everything turns out okay isn't the way life happens. It isn't. I don't think it's the way God works in that. None of us have to have it all together to be one of God's precious ones. Peter, James, and John did not have it together, but they were precious to Jesus. Jesus invited them on the journey. They walked with him on the way up and the way down. They walked with him before that experience. They walked with him after that experience. So we don't have to clean up our act to be considered one of God's precious ones. We are already considered God's precious ones. None of us have to have it together. And even though we may be afraid and unable to say anything that makes much sense, Peter was afraid and unable to say things that made much sense, we are still invited to be on this journey with Jesus, learning about what it means to follow Jesus, learning about what it means to act and live like Jesus. But there are no prerequisites. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to try to be bad either, you know, but I mean, there's no prerequisites to be on the journey with Jesus. Jesus knows us. Jesus loves us. Jesus sees right through us, but not with the chemical trickery of that sodium percarbonate. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for helping us to know that Jesus is the one to follow. Jesus is the one that we seek to act like. Jesus is the one who gives us life and gives it to us abundantly. Help us to reach out to one another with the love that Jesus has given us. Help us to help brothers and sisters who are in trouble. Help us to rely on your help when we're confused. Help us to not expect some magical stain lifter in our lives, but instead to know that you give us real nourishment, real cleansing, real love, all in your time. In Jesus' name, amen.